You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Over the past week and a half, there was a blackout in Manhattan, an explosion at a Madison substation, and severe weather that knocked out power to hundreds of thousands of customers in Wisconsin. Our next guest says we need to prioritize building a new power grid. First, here's a phrase you've probably heard. Politics today are polarized. On the federal level, there's been government shutdowns and fights over the debt ceiling. And Wisconsin is no stranger to partisan fights either, with the protests over Act 10 in 2011 and last year's Republican lame duck session that stripped power from the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general. But exactly how polarized are lawmakers in the state, and has that changed over time? Aaron Weinschenk is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He's the author of a recent piece for WisContext titled, How Polarized Are Wisconsin's Lawmakers? Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
You say we usually talk about polarization in more of a national context. Why do you think there's less focus on political polarization on a state level?
Yeah, I think, you know, most people get glimpses of national politics when they tune into the nightly news or read the newspaper, and state politics, although it is prominent for people who are political junkies, isn't usually on the radar for most average people.
How do you measure polarization? It's certainly something that many of us are aware of and acknowledge, but I think it's hard to imagine how you can actually measure that.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason why I wrote this piece, is because I think people talk about it. They use it as a word to describe everything that's going on, but there's actually a really precise meaning of it in political science, which is the ideological divide, or the growing ideological divide. And so you have to measure ideology, and we do that through using the roll call votes that state legislators cast. As a way of gleaning what the ideological position of individuals are or political parties.
Broadly, what do you see when you measure polarization in the Wisconsin legislature?
We are quite polarized. We are the 11th most polarized state out of the 50 U.S. states. And pretty much every year since the mid to late 90s, we've gotten more polarized with every single legislative session.
And so there's a clear trend over a couple decades that the legislature in Wisconsin is becoming more polarized. Can you point to reasons why that might be?
Yeah, I think that's part of the story that we're still learning about. I think we know more about what isn't driving polarization, actually, than what is driving it. I think people have different stories about how it could be activists or interest groups that are pushing legislators, but I don't think we have a clear sense of exactly why state legislators are polarizing at the times that they are.
One of the issues that has been raised as a possibility here in Wisconsin is the issue of gerrymandering and how districts are drawn, but did you find any correlation there?
Yeah, political scientists have looked at that a lot because that's where people usually place the blame. And actually, the studies show that the way that we draw districts isn't really related to legislative polarization. We can actually make comparisons across states because some allow state legislators to draw the line. Some have nonpartisan commissions. And actually, you find no real difference in the polarization between the parties across states, depending on which method they use.
You looked at polarization in the Wisconsin legislature, and I think we think of polarization as two parties kind of going in opposite directions, but I guess it could be that one party is basically staying where it is and the other is moving away. What did you find between the two parties? What kind of relation would you see in the charts that you have?
Yeah, it's definitely both parties moving apart. I think that in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party has moved to the left slightly faster than Republicans have moved to the right. And that's actually different than what happens at the national level. At the national level, the Republican Party has moved further to the right much faster than the Democratic Party has. It's not that the Democrats aren't moving. It's just that Republicans have moved faster. So you kind of get an opposite story here, but it still leads to a pretty big gap between the two parties.
We're talking with Aaron Weinschenk right now. He's associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. And we're talking about a recent piece that he wrote for WisContext titled, How Polarized Are Wisconsin's Lawmakers? And you said that we can look at how we compare to other states. Let's start with our neighbors in the Midwest. How do we compare to other Midwestern states?
Yeah, we are quite polarized. So in the article, I plotted six or seven of our closest neighbors. And Other than Michigan, we are the most polarized state in the Midwest. That's followed by Minnesota. So we're sandwiched in between Michigan and Minnesota. Michigan's the 10th most polarized, then us, then Minnesota. And then Ohio's pretty polarized, Iowa, and then Indiana and Illinois. And they're all polarized, but we're just more polarized than most of those places.
And you said that Illinois is one of the least in the Midwest. Why might that be?
Yeah, that's another thing that's it's hard to figure out. I mean, it is still pretty polarized, you know, in the top of the pack for sure. But it's hard to say exactly why one state's slightly more polarized than the other, given the data that we have.
You mentioned several upper Midwestern states that are, you know, in the top quarter of the nation for polarization. Are there other regions where we see significantly less polarization?
Yeah, you do see places that are far less polarized than the U.S. Congress. So in southern states, oftentimes you find less ideological polarization. Like Louisiana is one of the states that's least polarized. And that's partly because the Democrats in the South and state legislatures are still fairly conservative relative to national Democrats. And so that leads to them being closer to Republicans. There's also states that don't have a lot of Republicans in their legislatures, but the Republicans they do have are very conservative. So you actually find that California is the most polarized state. So they're dominated by Democrats, but the Republicans they do have are very conservative, which leads to a pretty big gap between the two parties there.
What kind of impact does it have when a legislature is very polarized on, for instance, how effective they can be as a lawmaking body?
Yeah, the general finding is more polarized legislatures lead to more gridlock policy. So that doesn't mean that they'll never pass anything. Congress is pretty gridlocked right now, but they occasionally pass policy. But just that it moves really, really slowly. And then when you get divides across institutions, that's a recipe for even slower policymaking.
This may be outside of the scope of your research, but do we know if having a very polarized legislature affects, for instance, how much people feel motivated to vote or participate in democratic processes?
I think there's definitely evidence that it affects how people react. So if you ask people, not that many people approve of Congress right now, but if you ask the people who say they don't like Congress, what it is about Congress they don't like, over 50% of people will say something related to they're slow moving, they're gridlocked, they're too ideological. So it definitely seems to influence the attitudes and perceptions people have of legislatures.
I also wonder if it depends on whether the party that you feel most affiliated with is in a better position to legislate, for instance, Republicans in Wisconsin. Do people see polarization more starkly when their party is the one that's probably being hindered more?
Oh, certainly. There's a real propensity for partisan bias where we like the things that match with our predispositions and we don't like the things that don't match with our predispositions. So, I mean, I think people, if their party controlled all the chambers but things were really polarized, they wouldn't be that concerned about it, or they wouldn't be as concerned about it if other configurations existed.
You said that there are several states where there is much less polarization. Is there anything we can learn from those states, or are there models that have been shown to reduce polarization in states like Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's something we're still sort of trying to figure out. And people have looked at a lot of the reforms that are kind of floating around out there. I mentioned redistricting reforms. People have thought about campaign finance reforms, and there are states that use public financing models or have tried to. That doesn't seem to really make a difference. So I don't think we've identified the thing or the set of institutions that's really going to make this go away yet.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Aaron Weinschenk, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He was with us today to talk about his recent piece looking at how polarized lawmakers are and have been in Wisconsin. You can read more about it online at wiscontext.org.